It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and today we've got a bit of a special podcast for you guys. We're talking BBOTT on a Sunday night, but instead of having the LFC here, we've got the final three of the So You Think You Can podcast competition. Yes, it is the semifinals, and we're here to see which of these three contestants is ready to make the leap into the LFC. So it should be a really fun show. I'm really excited to talk to these guys for the first time on a podcast. It's the first time the three of them are all together, and I think this is going to be a lot of fun. So let's introduce the panel to you guys if you are not familiar with them. First is a woman who we almost lost in the BB streets in the pre-show, but thanks to the power of Safari, we got her home and we got her here on this podcast. It's Melissa Denny, ladies and gentlemen. Melissa, how are you?
I'm great now that you guys can actually hear me and my whole system is working, hopefully. Hopefully it stays like that the whole time.
Yes, invisible headphones and all, Melissa. It's all working. It's great. And we are glad to have you. I was a little nervous, but very excited to have you on the show here today. Next on the panel is a man who is doing something that I used to do when I first started podcasting. He's podcasting from his mom's room. It's Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, how are you?
Good. I'm just really nervous that my mom's going to barge in and ask me what I want for dinner. But fingers crossed, she's in the other room, and I hope she's not listening.
That almost happened to me one time, and I had to, like, awkwardly – this was, like, when I was first starting. Yeah. It's very tough when you're first starting out because you're nervous, and you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. Exactly. And then you and your mom don't have that understanding yet that, oh, wait, like, I'm podcasting, so please leave me alone. Exactly. Eventually, you know, she'll figure it out, Adam.
Mom, I'm podcasting. Leave me alone.
Right? Exactly. So she'll figure it out eventually and you'll be fine. So just keep fighting the good fight.
I hope so, Jordan. I hope so.
And last but not least is a woman who has 10-pound weights in front of her door to keep her cat out of her room. It's Liana. Don't call me Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here. Yes, I have a 10-pound weight in front of my door. Don't have the parents issue, but I have the angry cats issue. So they're clawing and meowing at the door. But don't worry, they're kept out.
All right. So
I actually have both issues going on. Because I'm podcasting from my parents' house for the holidays, and I told my mom, please don't try and be cute and, like, come in the room and say hi. And also my cat. Yeah, hey, what's up? No.
Hey, you know, it might be a good idea, Melissa. You might want to, you know, to help the campaign, have, like, a little mascot for you and Team Taryn. I don't know.
My mother?
Could be your mother. I thought, right?
Could be your mother. I was thinking the cat, but yeah, maybe your mom works. I don't know.
You know, yes. Either one, maybe both.
Perhaps we'll see. We'll have to stay tuned for that. Just to set things up for you guys, we're live on robinswebsite.com. We've got the chat room going on the show page on the website. If you want to go to there, you can't find it. Chatwing.com/happyhour for that. We're going to be taking your questions extensively for this show because there isn't a ton of stuff happening in the house right now. So if you want to get those in, there's still time to do that. You can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RahappyHour. And we will get into those as the show progresses. Now, just a reminder for you guys listening, do not forget the link. If you're watching us live, it's not going to be up yet. But if you're listening in the audio archives, the link to vote for the final three is going to be up on this on the show page on robinswebsite.com. So don't forget to go there at the end of the show to vote for Adam, Liana, or Melissa, because only two of them are going to advance to the final round of this competition. So just want to remind you guys off the top. Now, let's jump into what's been happening the last few days, guys. And based on my research and what I've looked into, not a lot has really been happening.
Jordan, I have no idea what you're talking about. The feeds have been off the hook. Morgan cut up some melons the other day.
Ooh, and they've talked banana about bread today. Don't forget about the
banana bread.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
She burned the banana bread. Let's be clear, guys.
Crazy.
I think we really need to discuss the real issue is that the banana bread was burned.
Oh no. Oh no. That's not good. Adam, your mom doesn't burn the banana bread ever, does she?
Not that I could remember. The last time I had banana bread, oh, it wasn't even my mom's banana bread. So you're already throwing me under the bus with my
mom. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That sounds like a really bad murder mystery. Like, who burned the banana bread?
Who burned the banana bread?
So apologies to Adam's mom if she did, in fact, burn the banana bread. But yes, nothing has really been happening in the house the past few days. On Friday, Alex, Taryn, and Rob talked about Justin winning the Slackline competition via the care package. So now he is safe and has a pass to the Final Four. I wanted to get your guys' take on that whole situation because we haven't heard from you guys since then. Liana, what's your take on the whole Justin Slackline competition?
Honestly, underwhelming, to say the least. I liked the idea of having something that's been in the house the whole season and then have that theoretically maybe most important final comp be related to the thing that was in the house. So I guess it was a cool idea, but bad execution. I would have liked to have seen something maybe a little bit more complicated. Although, you know what? I don't know if you guys saw this, but did you see the banner at the end? It, like, after he crossed the finish line, it panned up and there was this banner that said, like, Final Four! As, like, what? How
so
silly
random.
Is that? Exactly, it was so random. Although, you know what? I like banners in general. Like, I think we need more banners. So, you know, I don't know. Mission accomplished. I loved it.
No, I agree. It was, like, it was so bizarre that the most important, like, Final Four competition was just a slackline. Like,
yeah.
There had to have been more to it. I honestly thought they were going to be like, okay, first maybe it's the slackline, and then there's a bunch of other stuff. But instead it was 2 hours of him practicing, just a massive buildup, and then maybe like a split second of him actually walking across. I actually had to rewind it because I missed it when he walked across for his final attempt. It was that fast.
The only thing that I really enjoyed about watching Justin go across this slackline was how much he actually wanted to win a competition. His face, he was so nervous. He was like a kid on the first day of school. He was like... And it was nice to see him actually want to win something. And then also watching Morgan fall on her face was really funny as well. So those are two positives I took from
that. That was great.
Now, Adam, do you think Justin should, now that he's got this pass to the Final Four, do you think he should be allowed to vote and compete in the POV this week? Or do you think that since he's gotten this free pass, he's already there, he's in the Final Four, and he shouldn't be a part of this round?
Well, I guess it depends. I want to see him compete just because I want to see how he'd play it off. And obviously, he's told Shelby and Morgan that he will vote out Shelby. But let's see him get some blood on his hands. And I know he probably won't win. I want him to compete. I think that'd be better for the game. It comes down to Jason against Shelby and Morgan. I don't think Chrissy or Justin has a real shot at the veto, even if Justin does compete in the veto.
Melissa, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I think he should be allowed to compete, and because I think it would be kind of cruel to give someone a pass to the Final Four but not let them actually make any decisions on the way over there. Yeah. I think that it's a good idea that he can compete, but at the same time, like, is it really going to matter? Because it's Justin, so...
I mean, he did get a free pass, though, to the Final Four. Like, I think that that's almost enough of a benefit that I wouldn't have minded if he didn't have a say in it. But, you know, all around, I think I agree with you guys that he should get at least a chance to compete in the veto.
And he did set himself up for the care package. Like, and I know, obviously, Shelby and Morgan did have a lot to do with last week sending Danielle out. But he really pushed for that when he realized, wow, I could have a free care package next week. So I think because he did set himself up to be the only eligible member left to get the care package, that you let him compete in the veto, give him a chance to make a move, which obviously it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but let's give him the chance to do so.
At the same time, though, it was like not really his own doing that he was ended up as the final person to get a care package. Like, I don't think he even realized that until basically Morgan and Shelby were like, hey, you need to do this in order to finally get the care package and be the only one eligible. And he was like, oh my God, you're right. So,
yeah, exactly.
You
that
dig?
Was when it clicked.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, let's talk about this. I messaged Taryn Armstrong before this and Alex Kidwell. It didn't have time to message Brent. I'm sorry,
hey.
Brent. Don't. Ooh. Yeah, I'm sorry, Brent. So I messaged because Brent's sleep schedule is weird. Sometimes Brent is sleeping like in like very weird times. So I just figured, okay, who's likely to be awake and who's going to answer me? So I said, okay, Alex and Taryn. Alex, I texted. I said, hey, is there anything you want me to talk about on this podcast? Alex said, nope. Nothing. So I was like, okay, well, they're nothing.
Really
all right.
Good.
So there's
helpful.
Yes, very helpful.
Thanks, Alex.
Taryn mentioned a few things. The one thing he mentioned first was he said, talk about pineapple. That was all he said. Just talk about pineapple. Ooh. So Melissa, talk to me about pineapple.
Well, it was the craziest thing to happen, basically, because nothing else happened this entire weekend. But the pineapple incident is that Shelby and Morgan wanted to grill pineapple, and they were very excited about it, and they had one pineapple left, and Jason took the pineapple and hid it from them. And Shelby and Morgan thought maybe Big Brother had taken it. They weren't really sure. Shelby was in the DR today, and Big Brother told her that production did not take the pineapple. So she realized that it must have been Jason, and Jason's plan is to chuck the pineapple in the pool.
And for what purpose?
Just, you know, cruelty, you know.
I can't believe we're actually talking about a hidden pineapple. Is this the most exciting thing?
They graduated from crackles to pineapple. Exactly. So it's a big deal.
Isn't it so funny how we're in the final three and we're all like preparing so much for this? And the main point we've covered so far is the case of the missing pineapple. And I don't know if you guys are How I Met Your Mother fans, but that's all I could think of with the missing pineapple and nobody understanding why the pineapple's there. So I appreciate that. And that's not lost on me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is unfortunate that you guys are doing this like round here, because there really is nothing happening.
Yeah. We're showing off our Big Brother knowledge, clearly, by talking about the case of the missing pineapple.
We're
so
grasping at straws here.
Well I think the big thing is Rob wanted to see that you guys were committed. And if you guys could watch feeds when the most interesting thing happening was a pineapple being hidden, then he would know that, okay, these guys are committed. So you guys are passing with flying colors, so well done. The other thing I wanted to talk about then is live DRs were Friday night, correct, Liana?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so anything you took away, what was the biggest thing you took away from the live DRs this week?
Okay, honestly, the biggest thing from the live DR, okay, all right, wait, let me take a step back. So I have something to say. I know we talked a little bit about no Chrissy talk, but I really do want to talk about Chrissy, because I have a thought on her from the combination of her in the house and then her live diary rooms. So, look, Chrissy has been extremely frustrating to watch, because she has said that she wants to go to the finals with Jason, despite the fact that she knows that Jason has this huge fan following. And even yesterday she said, I'm resigned to you winning. Like, she thinks that she will lose. Okay, so, like, this is so, so frustrating. And I couldn't understand why she's doing this. So what I tried to do is I put myself in Chrissy's mind. I don't recommend it, but I did it.
Tall task.
And I know, it was tough. But here's what I realized. Chrissy thinks that she has a shot against Jason. And as soon as that clicked in my head, her decision started to make sense, because she just wants to get to the end. She doesn't care who she's with, because she thinks she has a chance against Jason. And so, you know, she is almost trying to kind of placate Jason and say, oh, you know, I think you could beat me, you could beat me, which is something that we saw Derek do. I'm not saying that she is on the level of Derek gameplay, and maybe this is giving her like entirely too much credit, but, you know, I don't know, like maybe we're not giving her enough credit. You know, granted, she's no Glenn, but still, she might have some strategy to her.
Now, Adam, I want to ask you this about Chrissy Lavasser. Talk to me about what she said about puppeteering. What did Chrissy say about puppeteering, sir?
Okay, so obviously with the live DRs this season, it's a whole new aspect of the game, and you have to treat it like it's a part of the game. What you can't do in the live DRs is overrate yourself as a player. She said she was the mastermind behind the scenes, puppeteering, and the minute you overrate yourself as a player, obviously, America's not behind her as it is, but we're all like, what are you doing? Perception is reality, and the perception of her, she has no idea what she's doing. And also with Derek, the fact that you in all fairness, Liana, you did compare Chrissy to Derek. Do you guys think that Tim Lavasser, Derek's dad, is going to pick her up after the season and do some reality work with reality bullies?
Buy her a truck, right?
He'll buy her a truck, and he'll get them some nice reality bullies t-shirts. Ronnie Lavois Jr. from Survivor will definitely work with her after the season.
Oh, God. So that means if Chrissy comes on RHAP, Derek's dad will come as well.
Most awkward interview ever on our hat.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, Melissa, let me jump to you. In terms of Chrissy thinking she could win the game, right now, considering what's going on, let's say, looking at it from both scenarios, if Jason goes home this week, what are Chrissy's chances of winning this game? If Jason does not go home this week, what are Chrissy's chances of winning this game? What do you think, Melissa?
I think that if Jason goes home this week, the chances of her winning the game increase, because I think that a lot of people, or at least what I've seen, there's some sentiment growing that they're just going to, you know, vote for Chrissy, like if she's up against these people, because whatever, the season's over anyway and it sucks. So I think that there's a chance that she might win. And I think, you know, back to Liana's point, I think that she's right in that her perception is that she could beat Jason, because she, from what's going on, she's not been, you know, nominated by America. She was barely a have not, like, at the, and she got the first care package. Like, at this point, it seems like America is super behind Chrissy from her perspective. Obviously, maybe that's not the case. But from her perspective, I could totally see where she would think, you know, she's got America going and, you know, ever. And so she would see that maybe she would beat Jason. But I think that if Jason leaves this week, she has a better chance than if Jason stays.
Yeah, and I'm not saying she's going to beat Jason. I'm saying she thinks she could beat Jason, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially she struggled so much. She was bleeding all over the place that comp, you guys. Poor thing. America should have sympathy for her.
Entertaining your joke, Liana. Not even entertaining it.
Another thing,
no.
Guys, with Jason being in the house, he skews America's, like, with America voting, Jason has such a solid fan base going into this. Obviously, so the people in the house don't really understand where America's at. If it's BBOTT2 and there's no returning players, they're going to have a way better perception of what America's thinking. Because if somebody gets put on the block constantly, it's most likely that America doesn't like them. And because Jason's in the house, they don't understand what's going on and how America truly feels. Right now, Jason probably thinks his side is extremely loved. Chrissy's never been nominated. She thinks she's going to win at the end because America loves her, right? Why wouldn't they? They never nominated her. Or Justin.
Well, I have a couple thoughts on that. I mean, first, America gave the care package to Morgan last week, and then, or 2 weeks ago, and then put Morgan up on the block that next week. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're not being super, or America is not being super clear with the signals that we're sending. So I can understand that even if Jason were removed from the house, it would still be difficult to interpret what America is trying to tell them.
Yeah, I was going to say that I don't even know what America is thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I can't read this at all because half of America really likes one side and half of America really likes the other. So it's like, you know, it goes back and forth every week depending on who's in power. So I think that it's really hard to tell, even from an outsider's perspective, you know, let alone inside the house, what America is thinking at all.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible, especially with the – like, it's just so crazy what's happened this season. Like, just flip-flop, back and forth. It seems like America might have bipolar or something. I'm not quite sure. Okay, well, let's talk about then, guys, the veto, which is coming up. Really, I mean, the big thing this week is – I mean, I could ask you, oh, God, like, what's going to happen if so-and-so wins or so-and-so wins? Everyone knows what's going to happen, okay? It's either going to be, regardless of what happens, Jason is going to – if Jason's – side wins, then he's gonna survive. Shelby is gonna go home. If you know, the plastic side wins, then Jason is going to go home. It's really that cut and dry this week. So I want to ask you guys what you think. Looking back, looking into the future, if we're gonna look back on BBOTT, what do you think is the better thing to happen this week right now, for Jason to go home or for Shelby to go home? Adam, I'll start with you.
Starting this season, I like Jason. But this past week, you have to realize that this is not Big Brother proper. This is a new game. It's a new monster. So with strategy, you have to realize that your relationship with America matters. Jason has to understand, you know what? I can't go full overboard calling Shelby these awful names because it's going to hurt me. And I want Jason to go just based on the sole fact that he thinks he's so loved and Shelby's not. And at the end of the day, that's what this is. It's a popularity contest. So for Big Brother and for how amazing – well, not amazing Shelby's game has been, but she's played a solid game. I'd like to see a newbie come in and take out Jason, especially after how he's acted. And I think it seems like that's the consensus online. Well, not on Twitter because we all know how Twitter is. But, yeah, I think it'd be really awesome to see Shelby win the veto, use that to build up her resume and take out Jason once and for all.
Melissa, you agree or you disagree with that?
I definitely agree. I think that, yeah, it would be – much more entertaining, I think, for Jason to not win the veto, because otherwise Jason just goes on, you know, dragging Shelby through the mud like he's been doing all week. And in regards to Jason's comments, I think that from my perspective, a lot of the times people get kind of worked up over stuff that they shouldn't really necessarily get worked up about, like Jason calling everybody like a hookah or whatever, like that doesn't really get to me, because I feel like that's just kind of like his lingo. He's not meaning that in like an offensive way. Like he actually thinks they're a hooker or something. Like I think that's just one of those comments that he makes to people. And so that never really gets to me. And I know that people were getting kind of worked up over the hookah language more recently. I'm saying it super awesomely, apparently, like hookah, whatever. The point is that I think that this week has been a very different beast with what Jason has been doing. I don't approve of any of the comments Jason's been making about Shelby. He seems to be very like obsessed with Shelby. I don't know what it is. Like, you know, the comments about things she's wearing and just like generally like just really offensive stuff. And I think that I'm not a fan of that. And I can normally see, you know, look past all that stuff. And I can normally kind of see when people are being offensive, but when they're being jokey, like I can kind of tell. But this is not something I'm really into right now.
Liana, we're going to go 3 for 3 on this. You think ultimately for the good of Big Brother, the Big Brother community, it would be best in the long term for Jason to go this week?
Well, I guess it depends best in the long term for who. For the Big Brother community.
Well, what's going to be more of a positive outcome, you think? What do you think more people in general are going to look back on fondly? Jason going home right now or Shelby going home right now?
I think the house and then the fan base is still really split. So either way, you're going to have half of the people be upset at the outcome. But to talk about the comments, like the comments that Jason's been making, you know, honestly, I've been so desensitized, especially recently. Like this week, Jason has, and I mean, and other people in the house as well. It's not just Jason who's been making these comments, but, you know, everybody's been making these kind of hurtful comments. And, you know, honestly, I wake up, I check Jokers. Oh, Jason called somebody a hookah again. I don't care anymore. And that is a bad thing, I think. I mean, the fact that there's been so much vile language and comments throughout the course of the season that now I'm at a point where I'm like, eh, whatever. Like, eh, he called her a whore. That's fine. You know, I don't know. I just think that that's a bad thing in general. Although some people have been more creative with their insults. So if I'm going to see insults, like I want to see some creative insults. I think Shelby called Justin like a crack addict cocker spaniel or something like that. I did giggle a little bit at that one. But, you know, I mean, I don't co-sign any of the bad comments that have been said in the house.
All right. And just breaking news are happening now in the chat room. Taryn Armstrong is weighing in. He's stealing your guys' thunder. He says, and we know hashtag Taryn is always right. He says, I think history says BBOTT was more successful if Jason doesn't win, if only just because then the story is that he came in as a returning player and then he just ran it. So there we go. So interesting thoughts from our robot friend, Taryn.
That's fair. Although, well, sorry, on that note, though, I think it would be, you know, if Jason does win, then I think it decentivizes CBS from bringing back returning players for BBOTT. And I think overall BBOTT would benefit from having no returning players at all. So just a thought.
Okay, something to think about. Let's jump into the questions, guys. You can send those in by tweeting me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag Rahappy Hour. We've got some general questions. We've got some BBOTT questions. We're going to go all over the place with this. So let's see where this first one lands. Let's go with this one from John Densford. John says, what is your hottest take about a Big Brother related topic? I want fireballs. Adam, let's go to you. What's your hottest BB take?
Okay, I'm going to go with I think I want to weigh on a little bit of Chrissy's game. And, okay, this is not a popular opinion. I don't agree with this. But the difference between Chrissy and Morgan's game, and I feel like some people compare them because they're at the bottom of each alliance. Now, what Chrissy's doing is she has no self-awareness. Her spot in the game in her head is a lot different from what we're seeing. And when Morgan's perception of the house, I feel like, is spot on. She has a grasp of what's going on. She doesn't overrate herself as a player. And I've seen people compare them online, and it really bothers me. Morgan gets what's going on. Yes, she's not this mastermind player, but she's not claiming to be, while Chrissy is claiming to be a mastermind player. And that's something that I just wanted to bring up because it really bothers me when people compare anyone on this season to Chrissy's game.
You know, speaking of those two, so I like that. I mean, I think I completely agree with you. But I wanted to ask a question to get your guys' take. So Morgan told Chrissy about the sister twist.
Oh, God.
And we got, like, crickets, right? Because Chrissy just didn't trust Morgan or didn't believe Morgan.
Yes.
Well, yeah, of course. But what do you guys think about that move in general? The fact that Morgan used the knowledge of her sister as kind of like a way to build trust with Chrissy. Like, should she have used it with someone else or should she have done it at all?
I didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand where that was going to help her. And if anything, I felt like it might hurt her because she's trying to gain trust with Chrissy. And it's so she tells her that she's been lying to her the whole time. Like, how does that make any sense?
Yes.
I just feel like if you want someone to trust you, you got to tell them that you've been telling them the truth the whole time. I mean, like, somehow, like, find a way to do that. But I don't think that telling them, guess what, I've been lying to you the whole time is a good move. Yep. So I don't know where they were going with that.
Yeah, it's a good point, Melissa. Adam, what do you think?
Big Brother is the ultimate case of actions speak louder than words. So by telling someone you have a sister that was in the game, and not defending Chrissy, but maybe she was like, okay, well, this is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. Obviously, like, if she told Jason, I think Jason would have believed it because he's not that dumb. And if I were Morgan, though, what I would have done, and of course, I'm biased. I'm watching the show. I know what's going on. If I were Morgan, I would have saved it till the final three and said I was using my sister in this game as a meat shield. And I don't know if that's crossed her mind, but I think it would help her a lot more if she said I was using my sister when she left, then I was using Shelby. And I think that's the argument that would benefit her better in the game rather than trusting Cresty with that information.
Well, I also think that she should have provided more details to back it up.
Yes.
Because instead she literally just said, she's my sister, we were playing the game together, that's why I want to get Jason out.
Yeah.
Right. And then that was silence.
Yeah.
It was not even like, okay, like, she's my sister, like, didn't you suspect that maybe, like, we had the W last names, we're both from Texas, like, blah, 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 these are more, like, facts about Alex that I know that you might not know, or something, like,
yes.
She just accepted the fact that Chrissy was like, that's very interesting information, thank you.
Yeah, exactly, and Chrissy just looked at her with this blank stare. You know, if I'm Morgan, I'm, like, girl, like, convinced, like, I just didn't understand what she was doing, so...
When Morgan was telling it to her, I was literally sitting at my computer with, like, bated breath, just like, and then, like, they pan back to Chrissy, like, on the next shot, and she's just like, and I was, like, waiting for, like, something, and it was, like, the exact opposite of what I thought was gonna happen.
Exactly, like, waiting for the gears to turn, like, maybe she's thinking about it, maybe it'll come.
So yeah, like, it would click or something, but nothing.
Well, when you're a mastermind, Melissa, you automatically just boom, you just process right away. You don't need
she
to
knew.
Think anything.
She already knew.
Yeah, she figured it out.
It was
kind of
like in the movie where two people are like, okay, bye, I'll see you later. And they both go the same way. And it's just really uncomfortable for everyone. Like, oh, you're going to that classroom too. Okay, we'll walk together. Like, it happened in Superbad.
Oh, dude, that's not just a movie thing. That happens all the time on a regular basis. It's quite terrible. If anyone has a strategy for what to do when that happens, let me know. Okay, let's continue with this these hot takes that are Big Brother related. I want to get you guys' hot takes here that John asked for. So, Melissa, let's go to you here. What's a hot take that you have about Big Brother? Something Big Brother related could be, you know, somewhat controversial that you think.
Well, this could be kind of controversial. I try to steer clear of politics, but I think it could be an interesting parallel if Jason wins this season, a parallel to the election. Like, because Jason is making all of these comments and people are getting very offended by these comments about women that he's making. And then if he gets to the finale, I can almost see people just being like, well, he was a great game player. Let's all vote for him to win. And I think it'd be interesting because it's like clearly offensive comments about women don't really matter.
Interesting.
So, like, okay, so on this topic, this is like, this is what's so incredibly frustrating about Jason, because, like, I'm a biological woman, and, you know, he's making, like, slut-shaming comments, although, to be fair, he's not the only one. Like, Shelby has made some comments about Danielle that were not so great, but Jason definitely has been the main perpetrator of the majority of these comments, and I'm trying to reconcile as both, like, a logical, rational person that I see his game, I see that he's played well, he's, you know, insulated himself with goats, and on the other hand, I hear him making these horrible comments, and emotionally, I just am so upset with him, and it's difficult to reconcile both of those two sides of me.
Okay. Liana, let me get your hot take then. What's your interesting, different hot take that you have compared to what these guys have already said?
Helen wasn't pushed.
Oh, Helen wasn't pushed. Okay.
Take that back.
You know, I don't know. I mean, really, I guess I would say about Jason, like, I don't want the fact that he gets to the end, if he does win, that we just completely forget about his gameplay because, you know, he's made all these comments and because he has this established fan base, it can kind of discredit maybe any good moves he did make. At the same time, he's made these comments and it's frustrating. So I don't know. I don't know.
The only thing there is, I guess, what we have to realize is since this isn't Big Brother proper and there's no jury and members of the actual house voting, what he's saying, I feel like, is just an extension of his game. You have to be self-aware in that house where you say, you know what? I'm doing something really stupid, and it doesn't matter who America likes. It's like, okay, you're going to lose a vote every time you cross that line. The Big Brother house, everyone talks crap, but there's a time and place to do it, and it feels like Jason is salsa dancing back and forth over this line, and every time he does, he loses a fan or 20 fans. And because at the end of the day, we're all humans with morals, and I don't think there's anyone that could genuinely support what Jason is saying. So he has to realize he's messing his own game up by playing a bad social game with America.
All right, now let's keep things rolling here, unless anyone has any final hot takes that you want to add before we get out of here.
Can I just bring up something real quick?
Yes.
Okay, so can we talk about Neely real quick and social media and how that's affecting the game? Because
Neely
is grasping for straws and trying to, and she's going at Alex for, it seems like, no reason and being so immature. Like, we get it. She's the most immature 67-year-old woman that I've ever seen in my life. And it just really bothers me that she's trying to make herself relevant. Like, first of all, you're on Big Brother Over the Top. It's not going to lead to anything. And two, you're just trying to pick our arguments. And it's making me not want to vote for a member of the LNJ to win just because she's being such a petty 75-year-old woman. And
well, Adam, just to clarify for people who are unfamiliar, what is Neely doing on Twitter?
So Alex posted a Snapchat outside of Nordstrom, where I believe it's where Neely works, and she said, time to visit Neely, with like a winky face. And Alex has tried to clear it up that she wasn't joking around. She was just saying, like, Neely works there. I'm in her mall. Why not visit her? She obviously didn't do so. But then Neely attacked people and said, how do y'all even stand, Alex? It's like, How does that even make sense? And I just feel like I feel like she was just grasping for attention.
My favorite tweet of Neely's was when she said that Shelby was racist. That was my favorite one.
Oh,
and,
my God. Don't even get into that.
I won't get into it, but just the examples that she it was just very bad.
I think she tries to tweet, like, controversial things solely to be controversial. Like, yes. I don't think that any of the stuff that she's, like, saying – it's anything she actually believes. I think that she's just, like, trying to get people, like, worked up and, like, on her side. I don't know. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, that's a good point because, okay, like, let's be real. People are not going to vote rationally, okay? Nobody's going to sit down at the end of BBOTT and, like, lay out people's gameplay and really vote that way. People are going to be based on emotion, and emotion, especially with the recency bias towards the end, can sway people a different way. So by appealing to different emotions, I mean, clearly it can have a different effect, right? If it's like rallying the fan base versus offending people.
Yes.
But still, the emotion element of it is so crucial.
Yeah, it's an interesting strategy that Neely is using. I don't want to say any. My mom told me, don't say, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. So I don't know if I want to add anything more to that.
I say you add it, Jordan. I say you go for it.
what's your hot take?
My hot take. I don't really have a hot take. You guys did a good job. So I was gonna say
cop out.
Well, Taryn's not here, so I can do the fancy Fencerton thing. I'm the host. You guys answer the questions. I don't have to answer the questions. I just ask them. So
we try our best.
Good try, but yes, not going to work this time. Maybe when you're an official member of the LFC, then you guys will be able to flip the script on me. Yes, I am. Sorry, I won't do that again. Okay, let's keep rolling. This one is from Edward Giordano. Edward says, "What, if anything, can regular Big Brother take away from Big Brother Over the Top?" Melissa, anything you think off the top of your head that regular BB19 could take from BBOTT and plop into their season?
I think that they can take some of these competitions. I think that we've been seeing repeats of competitions to the point where people can plan out beforehand, like what their strategy is going to be, you know, with like the stay or fold and all that sort of stuff. And like, and the spelling one, I just feel like people already have it planned out, and it's boring to watch it over and over again. They just keep rehashing the same old thing. And I mean, the costumes for it, it's a little much. I will say that it's like the most embarrassing thing to have your friends come in and see what you're watching. And you're like, oh, it's just Big Brother, one of my favorite shows. And it's them all in like weirdo like bird costumes and like strange stuff. It's like, oh my God. Like, it's not normally like this, guys. It's honestly like, I could do without that stuff. I've been loving these competitions that they've been doing lately, so.
Like the costumes. am I that silly that I want to see people in banana suits and squirrel costumes?
Oh my God, Casey, BB11, bring that.
Exactly.
Bring back the banana suit, yes.
Maybe the banana suit. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, everyone watches Big Brother for different reasons. Some people, again, like the strategy. Other people want to see it for, you know, things ejaculating on the people during the competitions. Like, that's just what happens.
Classic Big Brother.
Classic Big Brother. And that's step number one, Melissa. Don't, you know, just watch Big Brother by yourself because your friends are not going to understand what you're doing.
Lose all of your friends once you introduce them to the show.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's, I already do that.
Yeah,
so very solo activity.
Yeah, or you go on the show and then your friends watch and they're like, wait, oh, okay, he's on the show. Oh, wait, he's a fan of this show too. What? This show, really? And then you come home and then they're all gone. It's sad face.
Melissa, to your point about the comps, I like the having new comps. I like that that's exciting, but I can't say that, say, the barcode comp was the most exciting the world. I don't
Maybe
really want
exciting.
To repeat that.
But it was interesting to see it. I don't know. I just felt like I'm so used to the competitions that they've been doing before. Okay. There are some that I would like to see.
Dope. Okay.
Did
you guys like the competition, the first one with the bug biting thing or the poison?
Yes.
I thought that
was
great.
I loved
that
one. Cool. Yeah, that was a great
comp. It was a callback to old Big Brother where they would, it was like based off of first impressions, you had to basically award the head of household to someone. And I thought that it was great.
Yeah, like the wheel of first impressions. I thought that was great. I think if I were to bring something into BB19, I would absolutely love the live diary rooms.
Yes.
I thought that was great. I also really liked that originally back at the beginning in combination with America Voting, I thought that the live diary rooms were a really good idea because at the end of Big Brother, there's always this frustration of house guests having to explain their game, especially house guests that play a more subtle game to explain all the nuances to convince the jury to vote for them. And I thought that the live diary rooms would give the house guests a chance to do that along the way. And, you know, Shelby was a person who I think took advantage of that the most. She said, you know, oh, I'm using these words incorrectly. I know what they mean. I'm being an idiot on purpose. That's part of my strategy. And so I would like to see the live diary rooms.
Yep.
I think the one problem with the live diary rooms is that the questions are so open-ended that people are just so vague. Like Justin, every single answer is the same. It's like, I'm just sitting here. I love it. You dig? Oh, I'm just, you know, being me. You know, it's literally just like the same thing over and over. I feel like if they asked more like pointed questions, or maybe if they actually had the diary room people asking them whatever they normally do in a diary room, I don't know if they would be willing to show that, but like that would be way more interesting.
Yeah. And the diary rooms in Big Brother Over the Top, it's a whole new aspect of the game because it's an extension of your strategy. You're going in there and you're not just talking to talk. Like, and this is one thing I have an issue with Jason and Morgan because they both have done this. They act a certain way in the house, and I like how Morgan's been acting, and Jason is obviously Jason, angry Jason, who drags everyone. But then they go into the diary room, and Jason tries to be nice. And I'm like, this is so transparent. We're seeing right through this, and it's affecting him as a player and his relationship with America. And Morgan acts really phony. Tony sometimes, and she puts on this voice and goes, "Hey, America!" Like, and it's just like it just comes across as very, very fake. So if going into the next season of Big Brother Over the Top, or if they do it on BB Proper, like you have to realize this is strategy. And Shelby mm-hmm. and Justin do a great job at that, because they act the same way they do in the house as they do in the diary room. What you see is what you get. And obviously Justin, if I have to hear him say, "I'm gonna ride this thing till the saddle falls off," I swear to God, but at least it's him being him. He's not trying to be someone he's not, and I could respect that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess the live diary rooms would have less of an impact on strategy in BB Proper, just because, you know, America's not voting at the end. But to your point about Morgan, and Alex did this too, they do this thing with their intonation where they go up at the end of sentences and their voice goes up a couple octaves. It was so incredibly frustrating to watch. But on the other hand, I liked them more in the house than in the diary room mm-hmm. session. But Scott, I loved in the diary room because his answers were so content driven. I mean, he would take those generic questions and actually give full bodied, thought out answers. So I like that with Scott.
Yeah, I couldn't deal with Alex in the diary room when she kept doing the head thing. Like, "I'm going to do this and that." Yes. It's like, "Oh my God, stop. Please keep your head straight." Like, I just couldn't deal with it.
And what you mentioned before about it, I think it'd be really awesome if they go in there and say, "Okay, we're going to ask specific questions to your game." Obviously, I feel like we're all Big Brother fans just trying to, like, we're trying to mold this how we want it to be. But I think it'd be cool to say, "Okay, Justin, like, who are you going with? Jason or the plastics? Like, who do you trust more?" Instead of him just giving these really vague answers where mm-hmm. we're like, "Okay, I gain nothing from that."
Adam, anything from BBOTT that we haven't talked about you would want to bring into Big Brother 19?
Okay, so maybe this isn't really something – no, this isn't from Big Brother Over the Top, but it's something that I miss a lot, and is it okay if I bring it up?
That's okay. Go ahead.
It's from an old season. Remember the slow-mos after the veto meetings when the episode would start and it was like
– Yes.
It would start. I miss that so much, and I don't know why they got rid of it, right? Like, why'd they get rid of that? Sorry for
yeah, the yeah, that yeah. that, and then also like the keys in the box.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, it's in a closet
that was
with
a
the
huge
key wheels.
Part of strategy.
Uh-huh, I agree. One thing I could add is a shorter season, because I feel like we burn out at the end of a regular Big Brother season because it's so long. And how many times can we watch Corey and Nicole cuddle in a bed for the last 20 days of the season, and her saying Corey and him being so, like, you can only watch that for so long. And I think if we had like maybe like a 70-day season, like BB14, I thought that length was perfect.
Yeah, I'm down with all of that. I think you look at, you know, Big Brother Canada. That's one thing that I think they do really well is they're like, "Hey, 10-week game, let's do it." I think that's just enough. Like, that's just the right amount of time, because, I mean, I've said this multiple times, like 16, 17, 18, yes. Way too long in my opinion. Okay, let's take one more. This one is from Tarantino, at Taren_Lucas on Twitter. And Taren had such a long question that they had to like just screenshot like a picture of their whole thing because it couldn't fit in 140 characters. So here we go. Taren's question is, do you think future BBOTT house guests will factor America more into their strategies based off of what has happened this season, considering the actual amount America was able to affect the game? Do you think for this format, the strategy of playing to America is a valid one that's worth using in order to win the BBOTT game? So what do you guys think about that? Do you think the strategy of this season is really going to influence what's happening moving forward, Liana?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a different game, and you have to play to America. They are essentially another house guest, but almost a more important house guest if they get to nominate somebody each week. So I think playing to America is a huge part of it. The problem is that, you know, when you're in the house, you can get a sense of people, you can read people, you can see what's working, what's not working. With America, that's way harder, you know, because you only get feedback every once in a while, and the feedback is always a little contrived, so it's hard to know how you're coming up across to America.
Yeah, Adam, what is the game? Let's say you're going to BBOTT2. What's the game plan? Like, what do you do?
First of all, I think you can't fabricate yourself. You have to be who you are. If you act a certain way, and eventually, like you said, like being in the Big Brother house, the cameras, you don't even realize they're there. You're who you are. But you have to take into consideration who's getting these care packages, who's not being put up on the block. Because if Jason's not in this season, we have a completely different turnaround. Like, the way this game ends up, we would never know, because Jason being in the house really skews the way America looks at the house and the way the house looks at how America looks at them. So if you're in that house, and if, like, I was going in the house, I would be myself, but at the same time, I have to know who, and starting to pick up on who America likes. in a regular season of Big Brother, Derek did this with Donnie. Derek hated Donnie in the house. He said such awful mean things about Donnie while they were actually playing the game. But in the diary room, he would talk him up like they were the best of friends because he knew America liked him. And honestly, that's what you have to do. And I don't approve of that behavior. But if you have to see where America's head's at and which way they're leaning, and you don't have to be best friends with that person. But if you know somebody's liked by America, have a relationship with them. And also with Jason showing us, don't talk like that. Like, that's it. Don't cross that line over and over. And that's pretty obvious, though.
Melissa, do you think that the game plan or the strategy for the fans going into BBOTT2 is going to change depending on who wins this season?
I think it's possible. I think that I honestly think that next season of BBOTT, they might change up the whole voting thing. I think they might do less America's Influence or maybe try and change things up, because I just feel like this has become – there's, like, no strategy going on, and every single thing that the house guests did this season was based on what America was going to do. So it was like, well, I'm not going to make nominations until we find out who the have-nots are. Well, I'm not going to make this until we find out who the care package are. It's like – just like there's like no strategy except for whatever America does. They're just going to like kind of use that. And so that's why it's like so dull on the feed sometimes, yeah, because it's just like they're just sitting around waiting for America to make the next move.
So I think definitely from a strategy perspective, that America's involvement has hampered dampened some of the strategy in the house. I think that CBS, though, has seen people be involved and be entertained by the season because they have the ability to vote. So I do think that they're going to want to keep some of America's involvement. Plus, like, it gives people a reason to check back in. There are multiple votes during the week, which encourages people to come back, check in, watch the feeds. So if they're going to continue BBOTT, I mean, I would imagine that they would at least keep some part of the America's voting.
Could I give Ms. Grodner a little bit of advice with America, like the safety ceremony?
Sure thing, Adam.
Okay, so I think it'd be pretty cool because the HOH, it almost seems like it's an immunity challenge. If you win HOH, the only power you really have is that you're safe. And of course,
yeah.
So what a cool idea, I think, is that maybe who you save on the first night, like who's initially saved in the safety ceremony on Saturday, is safe from America's nom as well. Because then it gives the HOH a bit more power and allows them to keep their alliance and social ties mean a bit more if that happens.
Yeah, I think that or just cut America's nomination. Yeah. You can keep America's vote, you can keep the have-nots, you can keep the care packages, but really, if you just cut America's nominee, then that can almost completely change the game.
I also think it'd be interesting if they had the ability to evict America. Like, you know, just start from the beginning and just like, if we want to play the game, which apparently that's what we're doing, we should be able to get evicted.
Wouldn't they do that off the bat, though? Like, wouldn't they just...
That's a total possibility. But, you know, like...
But crazy, Chrissy wouldn't, Adam.
Oh,
Chrissy
no,
is best
no.
friends with America.
She wants to kiss all of us on the lips.
I would do it for the story. I would do it for the... I wouldn't.
Adam, if I said that... Would you rather not be kissed by Chrissy and lose, or be kissed by Chrissy and win? Adam, what
Wait,
do you do?
So you think you can podcast competition?
Yes.
Oh God, pucker up, Chrissy. Pucker up. I'm kissing.
You're kissing her, Melissa.
Wait,
you
long,
kissing her?
How long? How long do we have?
Oh
to kiss
yeah, I'd love to kiss Chrissy.
For how long? It's just a peck. Just a peck. So, just a peck. You do it.
Yeah, hey, I'm doing. I think we'll all do what it takes to win.
Okay. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Melissa's going to do it. Liana's going to do it. Wow, you guys are so committed.
I'm just going to do it for the pleasure of kissing Chrissy. It has nothing to do with this competition.
You're getting me all hot and bothered.
Wow. All right. Okay, let's take another question. This one is from Poet Stephen Fishback. Poet Stephen Fishback on Twitter says, who does each baby LFC think is the most overrated player in Big Brother history? So that's an interesting question.
Oh my God.
Liana, let me go to you first. What do you think? Who is the most overrated player in Big Brother history?
I would have to. Oh, Brent's going to kill me. Rachel Riley. I think she's overrated. You know, she has this empowering attitude, and I think a lot of people like rooting for her. It's a reason why people like rooting for Danielle. She's so empowering, but really, she's not that great of a Big Brother player. Fantastic outside of Big Brother. I love her to death, but in the house, not so much.
All right. Wow. There we go. Brent is not going to be happy about that, Liana, but that's okay. Brent will forgive you, I'm sure. Okay, Melissa. Who is your pick? Who is the most overrated player in Big Brother history?
That's really tough. I think that in terms of, as much as I love her, but in terms of strategy, I think Janelle is kind of overrated just because, I mean, I love Janelle. I love watching her, but I think that if she didn't win any of the competitions, then she would not, she wouldn't even be remembered. I think that she's beautiful. She's funny. She's great. But she made so many mistakes in all of her games that I don't know, that she needed to be saved by the competition. So I think that she's kind of overrated when people like compare her to like the great strategists.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Because, I mean, you think about like the quote unquote legends of Big Brother. I don't think you can think of any one of those legends that has made as many mistakes as Janelle. I mean, it's quite a few. And also, too, social game needs some work. That's my personal opinion. That's my hot take for the day. There you go. Was it Adam who's asking me for my hot take? Yeah, Janelle does not have a good social game. Okay, Adam, who do you think? Who's the most overrated player in Big Brother history?
I was going to say Rachel, and then I was going to say Janelle. And so I'm going to go with both of the Donatos. I know that the casuals love Evil Dick, but his game was, without America, he obviously doesn't win. But Danny Donato, like, I'm not sure how she ranks when it comes to, like, strategy and her social game. But in Big Brother 13, how she flipped so early on the veterans, I think that was terrible. I was rooting for her because it was nice to see someone go against Big Jeff and, of course, Rachel and Brendan. But I just really wasn't a fan of her flipping so early, and it caused her early demise. Now, I don't know if people really consider her such a great strategist, but it was someone I think it's worth bringing up the Donatos and how they weren't all the casuals think they are.
Okay, so interesting takes there. Let's take another question. This one's from Audrey Radajak. Audrey says, if Jason leaves this week, does America become the thing it dislikes the most and become a bitter jury member? Or really, bitter jury because it controls everything here. So what do you guys think about that? Do you think America could be... And I actually forgot. She mentioned they'll vote for Chrissy to win. So do you think if Jason goes home here, America becomes bitter and decides to give Chrissy the win? Hypothetically, I guess we're assuming that Morgan and Shelby are against her in the final three. Melissa, let's go to you. What do you think? Do you think Chrissy's going to win and that it has a chance to win in this scenario with the whole America being a bitter jury?
I think if Chrissy is against Morgan and Shelby, then there's a huge chance that she would win, because I think that all the fans of the LNJ will vote for Chrissy because they won't want the Ball Smashers to win. And then I think that the Ball Smashers will split their votes. So I think that she will end up taking it if it's her versus the two Ball Smashers.
Liana, you agree with that?
Oh, man. I don't wanna. You can't make me. I think that's a real possibility. You know, America, we're going to be bitter. We're human beings. The juries are bitter. We're going to be bitter. So frankly, as much as it pains me to say this, I mean, I could possibly see a way for Chrissy to win.
Adam, if Chrissy's in the end with Justin, let's say Jason goes home, but somehow it's Chrissy and Justin with Morgan. Let's say it's Chrissy, Justin, and Morgan in the final three. Does Chrissy have a chance at winning there as well, or do you think Justin's going to take that one in that spot?
No, I don't. I think any Jason fans would realize that at least Justin tried to play the game. He had a very good social game, especially towards the end when he realized, oh, wow, I have a good social game. I'm going to actually do this. I'm going to play with my social game. So I don't think, in all honesty, that she would have any chance against Justin and Morgan. I do think in that scenario, Morgan has the best chance. Because, of course, with the game she's played, I think it's the strongest out of those three. But she also has all of the Shelby fans. And Shelby's stock in the plastic shot stock keeps rising. So I think they're all going to get behind Morgan in that case. But no, Chrissy's finishing in third, in my opinion, if those are the final three, because Justin's there.
Well, with your comment about Justin, though, like, I know that the Danielle fans do not like him because of his comments towards Danielle, which Danielle definitely didn't appreciate, and therefore her fans didn't either. So, it just depends if the Danielle fans are voting in droves. They're not going to vote for Justin.
Isn't that hypocritical of them, though? If they're going to vote, if they don't like what Justin said, just because he said it to Danielle. But they're all still behind Jason right now, and he said some awful things to Shelby. So it is kind of sad, because it does seem very hypocritical on their part, because they're only upset because they said it to Queen Danny.
Yeah, it's absolutely hypocritical, but the people in the house are hypocrites.
You're right.
And fans of this show, all humans, are hypocrites,
of course,
Adam.
You're right.
I have noticed, though, that even some Jason fans are starting to say that, you know, the comments that Jason's been making, like, aren't cool. So I have noticed people not be so cool with the way Jason's been behaving towards Shelby.
Yeah.
All right, let's take this one from Edward Morris, Edmo. Edmo says, who is the most forgettable Big Brother contestant of 2016 between Big Brother Canada 4, Big Brother 18, and Big Brother Over the Top? Now, this is an interesting one.
Yeah, if they're the most forgettable, won't we not remember
them? Yeah, I think the answer to that is whoever I'm not thinking of.
That's
yeah.
what I'm trying to think of those people.
I think, let's see, I'm going to come up with someone in my head right now, and I'm going to see if I win, because I don't think you guys are going to say this person, but I've got them stored in my brain. We'll see if anyone mentions it. We'll see if I'm right, but I think I know who the most forgettable person is this season, or this year, I should say. Adam, let's go to you first. Who is the most forgettable in your opinion?
I'm gonna go with Bronte, and there's just something about her that I remember at the end of BB18 going through all of the house guests, and I just forgot Bronte, because she went home on her friend's HOH. It wasn't the fairest, but she went home, and minus the whole I'm a secret mathematician thing, there's not much that's really in the competition. It was a mental cop and she lost it, so my pick is for Bronte.
Okay, Bronte is Adam's pick. That was not who I was thinking of. Liana, who are you thinking of?
I co-signed the Bronte thing because I didn't even think of her. I was running through I was like, oh, I remember everyone from BB18, so it's definitely no one from BB18. Nope, forgot Bronte. So I would have said her, but honestly, I kind of forgot Cornbread existed, which his name is Cornbread. How did I forget about Cornbread?
Oh, God.
Oh, Cornbread, poor guy. But hey,
poor guy with sleep apnea.
The sleep apnea. But hey, he found out that he has it, so that's good. Speaking of earlier too, Adam, you were mentioning how like people are saying, like, you know, appealing to America in the diary room, saying like, oh yeah, like I like this person even if like they don't. Like remember Cornbread week one when after he got nominated in his live DR, he said, yeah, like I think I really trust Jason. It's like what. So stupid.
Talk
so
about
stupid.
Pandering.
Right?
What the hell, America?
Yeah, so stupid. Melissa, who do you think is the most forgettable house guest this in 2016 across BB Can 4, BB 18, and BB OTT?
That is a really tough question, especially because the second it was asked, my mind just went completely blank of every single house guest this whole year, including everyone in BB OTT. So basically just like everyone.
Everyone. Okay, so a horrible
that's
year.
All that's all I've got
up
for you.
I have a runner-up. Can I say Paige? I didn't even remember Paige existed, so I'm going to go with
Paige. See, I'm going to go. I went to two names in my head, and of course, being north of the border, I thought of Canada. Christine, the mom from Big Brother Canada 4, second out.
Yeah.
Like, Paige was more memorable to me because she was the first boot. Like, a first boot, you remember that more. I believe Christine was the second boot.
I think she went on third.
Okay,
yeah,
maybe third.
Still.
Okay, whatever. Like,
yeah,
very early.
Very
on.
Forgettable.
Yeah.
So her,
it was her. She was third. Wasn't Shari second?
Yes.
Yeah, Shari. Shari's
another one who I don't
all
think anyone
of them
remembers.
They're pretty forgettable.
Yeah. So there you go. Poor BB Can girls. But yeah, there we go. Unfortunately. Now, I think part of it, too, is that it's been so long has passed. Like, so much time has passed since Big Brother Canada aired. That was in the spring. So we're almost
That's
on
true.
The next one. So, okay, let's take another one. Let's see. Where do we want to go? This one is from Jeremiah Yap. Jeremiah says, suppose you're the first to advance to the So You Think You Can Podcast Final 2, and you must decide to take one of the other two with you. Who do you choose? So this isn't
so
even
awkward.
Big Brother related.
This is so
awkward. Now, do you guys want to? I think this is a very funny question. I don't think it's fair to ask this to you. So I will send you a care package if you guys are not comfortable answering this. It's okay.
I love it. I'll answer.
Okay. Well, Melissa's making a decision for all of you. She's hitting the buzzer just like Dan Giesling in BB14. Let's go, Melissa. Who are you taking the final two?
I take Adam because there's only one room for, you know, a brown-haired girl. I feel like I have a much better chance of someone who – people were even saying they got Liana and me confused. So, like, I'm just going to take someone who's the opposite of me, and there you go.
Melissa, okay. We got to stick together. People always want women to work together. They never do. We got to give the people what they want. Plus, that's it would be hilarious. We can pull a little twin twist and start, like, swapping out. I think that would be pretty great.
I could be in on that, maybe. Like, I could be in the triple twist.
We'll get you a wig. We'll get you a lace front wig. It'll be good.
I have wigs.
I don't know if anyone would notice.
I don't think so.
Okay, then, Liana, who are you taking to the final two with you, Melissa or Adam?
I'm taking Melissa. Girl power. Plus, all about that twin twist. So,
wow.
Twin twist.
Even after she said she wouldn't take you to the end, you're taking her to the end anyway.
I'm going to take her to the end anyway. No hard feelings.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Adam.
Adam. Oh, no. Well, Adam, I think this makes it an easy decision for you then, right?
No. I spoke to Liana the other day on Twitter DMs for like 5 messages back and forth. So my social game with her, I feel like we have a kind of an alliance. So, Melissa, you're getting cut. I'm sorry.
Ooh. Oh, no. Oh, oof. No.
Hey, you didn't approach me. You didn't come to my HOH room. There's nothing I could do.
Wow.
What makes you HOH?
Well, he was HOH by the question, I guess. He went to the advance to the final two, so I guess technically.
So we're all HOH.
You were all HOH. You were all HOH. But
this is a fun little love triangle. Yes. I like it.
Wow. Adam, I 100% thought you were going to take Melissa to the end because she took you. And Liana said, no, I don't want to take Adam. But you're
we
like,
all
nah,
said someone
I'll take
else.
Liana. Yeah. No, nobody's working together. Yeah, it's just like Big Brother. This is great. I love it. Okay, let me see if there are any other questions that are worthwhile here. I think for now, I'm just looking here. Somebody's tweeting me about the Cowboys-Ravens game. That's not a question.
We could talk about it.
Yeah, what's your take on Dak Prescott starting over Tony Romo? Okay, no, let's talk about. I have some questions for you guys, so I think we should jump to that part of the show. I put some of my own questions aside for you guys, just so that people could get to know you guys a little bit more. So the first question, and it's very important to me. I want to know what each of you think. Who is better, Dr. Will Kirby or Dan Gysling? I want to know what you think about this. Adam, let's start with you. Who's better, Dr. Will or Dan?
So in all fairness, I did start watching in Big Brother 11. So I did see the end of Dan's first season. I saw his second full season. So I'm going to go with Dr. Will, switching it up.
Oh!
No, yeah, I'm picking Dr. Will. He was a pioneer of the game. He's the Richard Hatch of Big Brother. He created the game, in my opinion. Without Dr. Will in season 2, we don't have the alliances. We don't have the backstabbing. I think the way he played in season 2 and how he was back against the wall and how he made his way to the end and he pulled off that terrible jury speech where he went off on every single person and then he comes back in Big Brother 7, the game has evolved immensely, and he runs the game. And of course, there's some questionable decisions at Final 4, but I'm going to go with Dr. Will, and of course, I think his character comes into play as well. It feels like he's playing a character while Dan is a used car salesman in real life and in the game. I love Dan. His funeral was my favorite Big Brother moment ever, but I'm going to go with Dr. Will.
All right. Well, Melissa, are you going to disappoint Taryn, or are you going to go with what he would want you to say? What do you think, Dr. Will or Dan?
I love them both, and I think they both are great for different reasons. And I think that I love the strategy that Dan brings, but I love the entertainment that Will brings. I think that Dan, you know, he makes these very impressive, like, strategic moves that are very, like, analytical, and he thinks things through. But I think that Will just brings that, like, X factor that you have no idea what he's going to do, and you're just, like, waiting, you know, with bated breath, like, what's next? And I think that that's so fun and exciting, and I always enjoyed watching Will, so I'm going to have to go with Will.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, Taryn, I can't wait to see what Taryn thinks about this. So I'm surprised. We've got two Dr. Will. We've got 3 people on this panel who think Dr. Will is better than Dan. Sorry, Dan Gysling, but I'm also in the Dr. Will camp. Liana, are you going to go with Dan or are you going to stick with us? Are you going to jump on the bandwagon?
I'm going with Dan. Dan, I have always thought to, in my mind, is the better Big Brother player. I know, I'm sorry, 50% of people, or maybe even more than 50% of people. I think that, you know, Dr. Will has, and this, you know, this really is splitting hairs. Like, I do agree that both are exceptional players, but I think that Dan, you know, he gets a lot of flack for putting himself in kind of bad situations, right? I mean, that's the way he starts off BB10, is he's on the outs. But I think his ability to recover is just absolutely fantastic. I mean, you look at his start to BB10 and then also with the funeral in BB14, and those two moves are just, I think, outstanding gameplay. And I got to go with Dan.
Okay, well, there we go. Both amazing at recovering and coming from behind, and both really the consensus, the greatest players of all time. I love both of them very much as a fan. Okay, so interesting. Liked hearing your guys' takes on that. I want to get your take on something else here. Other than Big Brother, actually, you know what? I want to make this a little interesting. What is the best season of Big Brother that did not include returning players? So in terms of, other than BB10, because that's too easy. Okay. So other than BB10, what is the best season of Big Brother that has all newbies? Siblings are allowed. So if you want to include Polly Calafiore, BB18, you're welcome to. I wouldn't advise it. Yeah, I want to get your guys' takes on that. So Liana, let's start with you. Best season.
Okay, I think I really liked BB5, I think.
Whoa, that's a hot take.
I know. I'm probably in the minority. No, I know I'm in the minority.
Yeah, you were in the minority.
But, you know, that for me was when I think that the game starts to shift a little bit more in terms of gameplay. And so, I mean, especially with Nokomis and you see the six-fingered plan, that was when, for me, the strategy started to emerge and when I really became interested in the strategy side of Big Brother.
Okay. So Big Brother 5, that was not what I was expecting, but I like the answer. Adam, best season that includes no returning players other than BB10?
Big Brother 3. I'm going to go with Big Brother 3. First, we get one of the best players of all time, the best player to never win, hands down, Daniel Reyes. And we have an underrated duo, and I wish more people talked about them, and Jason Guy and Danielle, which is one of – I love their alliance. They were just – you just never expect them to work together. We have Marcellus's boneheaded move where he didn't use the veto. And it was the first time the Golden Power veto was ever in play. And we saw – this is an underrated thing that happened. Lisa didn't bring Eric back into the house. And I don't know if you guys remember that. They were, like, vibing. And she didn't bring him back in the house. She said, this is my game over my showmans. And I think I respect that a lot, even though Lisa's not the best winner.
Yeah, well, I think that Lisa also – people forget about her gameplay, especially because I don't know if I would say that Danielle and Jason are, like, underrated or forgotten about. I mean, maybe just because it's an older season. Yeah. But I think when you actually think about the season, yes, of course, those are the two that stand out the most. Yeah. But Lisa's gameplay really is – I think underrated, and for that reason, also the fact that she was willing to, you know, to keep it about her game and not her showmans.
She was one of the first good social players, I would say. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we also have the first person to kill someone on Big Brother with Tanya. So, she's also on that season, just reminding everyone and wanting you to feel a little worse about yourself.
Well, that got dark, and I don't know how we're going to transition from that, but we will. So, speaking of killing people, Melissa, what is your favorite season that includes no returning players?
Is that because both John and Jen got killed? Was that the transition?
Sure, we'll go with it.
Get killed. We just get turned off because we're robots.
Yes. So, Melissa, best season of Big Brother other than BB10 that includes no returning players?
I really liked Big Brother 12.
That's another hot take. Really? BB12?
I feel like we got so many, like, interesting, fun characters that season. I mean, we got Rachel, we got Brendan, we got Brittany, we got, you know, Enzo, and just, we got
Monet.
Matt Hoffman.
I feel like Monet.
There's just so many crazy things that happened. I was entertained the whole time. We have the Brigade. Like, I just loved just all of it. I just was so entertained. And I think maybe for strategy, it maybe wasn't the best season, but I think entertainment value, it was great.
Okay. Wow. Again, I was not expecting that, but I like that you guys are being different. This is good. Okay. Now let's flip the script. I want to get your takes on what is the worst season in Big Brother history, and you are not allowed to include Big Brother 1 because that was a different game. You're not allowed to include Big Brother Over the Top because that is a different game. And you are not allowed to include Big Brother 9 because everybody chooses Big Brother 9. So let's flip the script. Let's start all over again. Let's go back the way we came. Melissa, we'll start with you. What is the worst season in Big Brother history outside of Big Brother 9?
The worst season to me was 15. And I don't think that's
wow.
a hot take.
No, that is a hot take.
Really?
You like 15?
I liked 15.
Yeah, I love 15. I mean, 15 was controversial, I will say that.
I just
but
didn't have
it was
anyone,
entertaining. You don't
I
like
with Melissa.
I didn't have anyone to root for. I just didn't like anybody, and I was just...
But Howard, Melissa, Howard was so...
Am I supposed to like Howard? I feel like I just...
No, Howard no. Overby.
Howard was terrible.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But,
yes.
You know, I don't know. I didn't like anybody. I felt like if I don't have someone to root for, it's not as fun for me. And I think that I still watched, obviously. I don't know. There was just nobody that I was excited about. So it was just kind of a dull season for me. And there was a lot of drama, but I'm not a huge fan of the drama unless it relates to strategy. I think that the drama can be fun if, like, it influences a change in alliances or, like, you know, people regroup and form new things. I feel like that's exciting, but I feel like a lot of the drama was just drama and didn't really help strategy-wise.
No, that's a fair answer. And, yeah, apologize for cutting you off. I was just, like, I was surprised. Just
you were
because,
passionate.
It's okay. It's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
yeah,
just because I like 15. I think the problem is that, like, everybody I've met from Big Brother 15 – has been like super nice and awesome in real life. So I think maybe that skewed my viewpoint
yeah.
on it. But anyway, that's,
I mean, now like I love Andy on Twitter and I'm looking back at it like, yeah, he was a great player, you know, but at the time I was just like, oh, you know, I don't know. This is boring. So
I kind of agree with Melissa. I think they were kind of they were hateable at the time. And it wasn't as entertaining at the end because of all of the drama that went with it. And after Helen got pushed, you know, it was just really tough for all of us to process. I'm with Melissa on this one. It wasn't one of my favorite seasons, and I like Andy also on Twitter.
Okay, so
I can't co-sign that. I can't co-sign the hate for BB15. I remember watching it. So there was a question, actually. I can't remember what group got asked this, but it was, if you were to play like a Big Brother player, who would you play like? And I remember thinking, well, of course, like I would like to say I would play like Netta, but let's be real. I would play like some knockoff version of Amanda. Like I would be trying to be like all powerful. People would hate me. Inevitably, that's what would happen because I was rooting so hard for Amanda. Like,
Would you date McCray as well?
Ooh,
oh,
there
yeah.
we go.
Pizza Boys, all about it.
He was yummy.
So he was yummy, that's for sure. No, I think if I had to pick a season that was my least favorite, this could just be recency bias, but BB18 I was not so crazy about. For me, that was the season where I had a hard time rooting for anybody. I ended up rooting for Paul at the end because who doesn't love Paul? He's also a Cheetos Puffs fan, which I'm a huge Cheetos Puffs fan. So, but ultimately, I don't think that redeemed BB18 ultimately. So yeah, so I would say BB18.
Okay, so BB18 for Liana. Adam, are you just going to stick with 15, or do you have a different answer?
No. I like 15 better than the season I'm about to mention. And for those of you who've been watching these podcasts, everyone knows I'm a big Luan fan, but I'm going with BB13. I just can't get over when it was down to the final six, and they tailored that competition to Rachel. And they not only did that, but they said, okay, you're now working in duos again. And the duo that wins are both safe. Like, that was the most obvious rigging. Maybe now it's different. But that was the most obvious rigging at the time. And I remember being so disgusted. And my mom texted me and said, Rachel and Jordan are in duos. And I remember being so distraught over that because I was rooting for one of the newbies to win, or Shelly or Kalia.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there we go. BB13. Again, Brent won't be happy to hear that, but you're not on Team Brent, Adam, so that's okay. And for the record, I think I would say BB11 out of these. I just hated BB11. That was just awful to watch. Nobody cares what I think about this. This is about you guys. Okay, let's start to wind things down here. A couple more questions for you guys, just in terms of this competition. I think that a lot of people want to know, What's, you know, what makes you guys stand out? What makes you guys different than the other competitors here? You guys are in the final three. It's like BBOTT. It's up to a fan vote. There is no jury. It's all America voting on this competition. What makes you different? What makes you different, and what makes you stand out compared to your competitors on this panel? Adam, let's start with you. What makes you different?
Well, my job, I am a social media marketer, which means I work from home and I create my own hours. So unlike someone who has a real job, and I'm also a YouTuber, which is definitely not a real job. So as opposed to someone who has a 9-to-5 or has to work specific hours, I could appear on the podcast at any time. I'm always free. And maybe that's just a testament to my sad life. But also, I've been getting a lot of flack for having a following before this. And I just want to say, like, I get it. I understand. I'd probably be pissed too if someone came in here with X amount of Twitter followers. But this podcast means a lot to me, and Big Brother means a lot to me. And I want people to look at me as a Big Brother fan and not the guy with who has the douchey hair and has X amount of Twitter followers. So another thing that it makes me different is I have put myself out there for the past 5 years. I've made YouTube videos and I've done that since I was 18 in high school. So over time, I've seen lots and lots of hate, but that's what I signed up for. I've seen myself get bashed for the way I look, the way I sound. I've seen my girlfriend get bashed. I've seen my family get bashed, but I signed up for that. I have thick skin. I embrace hate. I think it's funny. And I also appreciate constructive criticism. So if you want to vote for me or not vote for me, I hope it's not because of, what I do, or because YouTube doesn't define who I am. And I just hope you guys, if you vote for me, you think I suck at podcasting, don't vote for me. And at the same time, if I get the most votes and Rob thinks I'm not fit to move on, I don't want him to put me through. And I don't think that'd be fair. If I'm going to win this, I want to win because I'm good at podcasting and bring something to the table, not because I got the most votes.
All right. So there we go. Adam's speech there. Liana, let's go to you. What makes you different from these other two that are sitting next to you on this panel?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I applied to this competition not because I want a podcast, but because I want a podcast about Big Brother. Like, this is the show that I'm obsessed with. I saw a question that was, if you could podcast about, you know, another show, what would it be? None. No other show. Big Brother. That's what I want to talk about. I mean, it's a show that I'm obsessed with in a very bizarre way. But that's why I applied. And I guess as far as what makes me unique, you know, I don't consider myself a one-note person. I think that there's a lot that I can bring to the table. But I like Big Brother because it's a social game. You know, the moves that you can make are limited by your social capital, what other people think of you, the relationships that you have. And this has always been the most interesting thing to me because, like, on one hand, I am this logical, rational thinker. But on the other hand, I'm a social human being. I'm emotional and empathetic. And I think the two parts of my personality work together to give me a unique understanding of the game. You know, I can identify and articulate some of the social nuances, what people might be thinking, why they might be thinking what they're thinking, and how that influences their decision making in the game. So that's what makes me unique, and that's what I bring to the table.
Melissa, what makes you different, and why should people vote for you?
How am I supposed to follow up those two speeches? Like, I feel like Nicole trying to, like, follow up a Paul speech. I don't know. I honestly love Big Brother so much. And like Liana, like, this is the one show that I want to talk about. And I can't talk about it with anybody. No one. And so I've had such a great time talking with all of you guys and, you know, John and Jen and Taryn. You know, this has been such an amazing experience. And I'm loving it. I love being able to talk about it. And I think that I connect really well with the emotional aspects of the game and the people in it. And I think that I can also sit back and take an unbiased perspective and see it from all sides. I think that that's something I have to do in my job every day. So I think that it's very important to see all the sides of it. And I think I can bring that. And plus, I feel like I can vibe with everybody here. I feel like I've gotten along. I've had so much fun talking with everyone. Everyone's been great. So I would just love to be a part of it. And, yeah,
yeah. I agree with that too. And that's the unfortunate thing is that we have to lose one of you in this round because I've had such a fun time talking with you guys. I wish we could do this again with the baby LFC, as some people were calling it.
Yes.
This has been a lot of fun, and I wish you guys nothing but the best in the next round. If you need like a side mentor to your coach, feel free to utilize me if need be. Because I'd love to help you guys out, and I think that you guys are all awesome. So it's been great chatting with each of you, and I can't wait to see what's next for you. Now, before we get out of here, I just want to remind everyone, don't forget to go vote. If you are watching this live, I'm currently in the process of trying to multitask and host the show while editing the post on the website to post the poll. So by the end of this, you should be able to refresh the website page, and the link to vote will be there. And of course, if you're listening in the audio archives, you can just go to the show page and you should be able to vote there. There will be a link for the survey. And in this round, you vote. It's not just a vote for one person. You're ranking the three in terms of preference. So 1, 2, 3 based on who you want to see advance to the next round or to the finals, I should say. Before we get out of here, guys, I just want to get some final thoughts from you. If there's anything you want to add in terms of BBOTT or anything, you know, in terms of campaigning you want to, you know, you didn't get to say that you want to say now, I will let you guys have the floor. So, Adam, we'll start with you again since you started with the speeches. Yeah. So, Adam, please go ahead. Any final thoughts, sir?
If I do advance or I do become a part of the LFC, you guys can call me any name you want. You could bash me till tomorrow. I'm cool with it. So I'm just letting you know I'll be your human punching bag. And I'm really excited for the veto tomorrow. Let's go cornbread.
All right.
Also, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate it.
And yeah, no worries, Adam. Yeah, no worries, man. Okay, Liana, final thoughts.
And definitely a big thank you to Rob, to Jordan, to my team captain, Team Brant. This has been such a crazy fun experience, and you know, I don't want it to end. I'm sad that we had to lose people along the way, you know, especially Cam and Dustin, you know, may they rest in peace. But I will always give you my opinion. I don't back down. I'll stand up for my perspective. I've got the evidence. I pay attention to the body language, the communication styles, and I would love an opportunity to come back and to continue engaging with listeners that are just so much fun to talk to.
All right. Melissa, final thoughts for the evening.
I think that overall, there's been a lot of hate on BBOTT. As a whole, and I think that people are being a little unfair. I think it's been a really fun, entertaining season, and I think that the fact that the community has been so involved is so cool. Yeah, there's been hate on either side, but I think that it's been so awesome to get everybody so passionate about Big Brother. I think it's been cool to see the amount of people who love it. And I just think that the show itself is entertaining, and I hope that, you know, it continues on forever. I think it's great.
Yeah, Big Brother. There's not, you know, Big Brother is like, I said this earlier in the season, Big Brother is like pizza. You know, even when it's bad, it's good. I mean, you know, yes, this OTT thing is a little different, but it's better than nothing, I think. So we should be happy that at least we got this, even if, you know, social media is a bit of a war zone sometimes. But yeah. With that, we are going to call it a night. Thank you to everybody for listening to the show. Hashtag ideas. I don't know if anyone has anything in the chat or any of you guys on the panel have ideas for hashtags. I was thinking maybe hashtag Chrissy Lavasser. That was the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Okay, so we'll go with that. We'll go with hashtag Chrissy Lavasser. The other thing I want to let you guys know about as well is Rob, I believe Brent's going to be on. I think the whole LFC, since they missed this show, because usually they're in this time slot, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe the whole LFC will be on live with Rob on Tuesday afternoon to break down everything following the aftermath of the veto competition and they'll be previewing the Final Four on robiswebsite.com. So make sure you tune in to check that out. Should be a really good show. I don't know, but I think the results for this might also be revealed on that show. So just another reason to check out that episode of RHAP. If you enjoy this episode of the Rahappy Hour and you like this sort of thing, don't forget to subscribe. You can go to robiswebsite.com/Rahappy Hour to make sure you don't ever miss an episode, or you can go to robiswebsite.com/YT if you want to make sure that you are subscribed to the video version of this podcast. And while there, you can see Adam's mom's room, Liana's headset, we can see Melissa's parents' house in Colorado. Lots of great things on the video tonight. So definitely recommend you come back and check that out if you weren't watching us live. Okay, so don't forget to follow these guys on Twitter if you haven't already. Adam is at Adam Bonjo. Liana, you are just at Liana Boris.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Okay, and Melissa is at It's Melissa with three A's.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. I can't believe I remembered that.
Yeah,
okay, there we go. Thank you. So don't forget to follow these guys and tweet us. Let us know what you thought of this edition of the show. For Adam Bongiovanni, Liana Boris, and Melissa Denny, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Chrissy Lavasser. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the reality TV Rahappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.